Passion of our Lord Jesus Christ according to Matthew. One of the 12, who was called Judas Iscariot, went to the chief priests and said,
"What are you willing to give me if I hand him over to you?"
They paid him 30 pieces of silver, and from that time on, he looked for an opportunity to hand him over. On the first day of the Feast of Unleavened Bread, the disciples approached Jesus and said,
"Where do you want us to prepare for you to eat the Passover?"
He said,
"Go into the city to a certain man and tell him, 'The teacher says, my appointed time draws near. In your house, I shall celebrate the Passover with my disciples.'"
The disciples then did as Jesus had ordered and prepared the Passover. When it was evening, he reclined at table with the 12. And while they were eating, he said,
"Amen, I say to you, one of you will betray me."
Deeply distressed at this, they began to say to him one after another,
"Surely it is not I, Lord."
He said in reply,
"He who has dipped his hand into the dish with me is the one who will betray me. The Son of Man indeed goes, as it is written of him. But woe to that man by whom the Son of Man is betrayed. It would be better for that man if he had never been born."
Then Judas, his betrayer, said in reply,
"Surely it is not I, Rabbi."
He answered,
"You have said so."
While they were eating, Jesus took bread, said the blessing, broke it, and giving it to his disciples, said,
"Take and eat, this is my body."
Then he took a cup, gave thanks, and gave it to them, saying,
"Drink from it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which will be shed on behalf of many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, from now on I shall not drink this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it with you new in the kingdom of my Father."
Then, after singing the hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them,
"This night all of you will have your faith in me shaken. For it is written, 'I will strike the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock will be dispersed.' But after I have been raised up, I shall go before you to Galilee."
Peter said to him in reply,
"Though all may have their faith in you shaken, mine will never be."
Jesus said to him,
"Amen, I say to you, this very night, before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times.
Peter said to him,
"Even though I should have to die with you, I will not deny you."
And all the disciples spoke likewise. Then Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane, and he said to his disciples,
"Sit here while I go over there and pray."
He took along Peter and the 2 sons of Zebedee and began to feel sorrow and distress. Then he said to them,
"My soul is sorrowful even to death. Remain here and keep watch with me."
He advanced a little and fell prostrate in prayer, saying,
"My Father, if it is possible, let the cup pass from me. Yet, not as I will, but as you will."
When he returned to his disciples, he found them asleep. He said to Peter,
"So you could not keep watch with me for 1 hour. Watch and pray that you may not undergo the test. The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak."
Withdrawing a second time, he prayed again,
"My Father, if it is not possible that this cup pass without my drinking it, your will be done."
Then he returned once more and found them asleep, for they could not keep their eyes open. He left them and withdrew again and prayed a 3rd time, saying the same thing again. Then he returned to his disciples and said to them,
"Are you still sleeping and taking your rest? Behold, the hour is at hand when the Son of Man is to be handed over to sinners Get up, let us go. Look, my betrayer is at hand.
While he was still speaking, Judas, one of the 12, arrived, accompanied by a large crowd, with swords and clubs, who had come from the chief priests and the elders of the people. His betrayer had arranged a sign with them, saying,
"The man I shall kiss is the one. Arrest him."
Immediately, he went over to Jesus and said,
"Hail, Rabbi."
And he kissed him. Jesus answered him,
"Friend, do what you have come for."
Then stepping forward, they laid hands on Jesus and arrested him. And behold, one of those who accompanied Jesus put his hand to his sword, drew it, and struck the high priest's servant, cutting off his ear. Then Jesus said to him,
"Put your sword back into its sheath, for all who take the sword will perish by the sword. Do you think that I cannot call upon my Father, and he will not provide me at this moment with more than 12 legions of angels? But then, how will the scriptures be fulfilled, which say that it must come to pass in this way?"
At that hour, Jesus said to the crowds,
"Have you come out as against a robber with swords and clubs to seize me? Day by day I sat teaching in the temple area, yet you did not arrest me. But all this has come to pass that the writings of the prophets may be fulfilled."
Then all the disciples left him and fled. Those who had arrested Jesus led him away to Caiaphas the high priest, where the scribes and the elders were assembled. Peter was following him at a distance as far as the high priest's courtyard. And going inside, he sat down with the servants to see the outcome. The chief priests and the entire Sanhedrin kept trying to obtain false testimony against Jesus in order to put him to death. But they found none, though many false witnesses came forward. Finally, two came forward who stated,
"This man said, 'I can destroy the temple of God, and within 3 days we will live.'"
The high priest rose and addressed him,
"Have you no answer? What are these men testifying against you?"
But Jesus was silent. Then the high priest said to him,
"I order you to tell us on your oath, before the living God, whether you are the Christ, the Son of God."
Jesus said to him in reply,
"You have said so, but I tell you, from now on you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of the power and coming on the clouds of heaven."
Then the high priest tore his robes and said,
"He has blasphemed. What further need have we of witnesses? You have now heard the blasphemy. What is your opinion?"
They said in reply,
"He deserves to die."
Then they spat in his face and struck him, while some slapped him, saying,
"Prophesy for us, Christ.
Now Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard. One of the maids came over to him and said,
"You too were with Jesus the Galilean."
But he denied it in front of everyone, saying,
"I do not know what you are talking about."
As he went out to the gate, another girl saw him and said to those who were there,
"This man was with Jesus the Nazarene."
Again he denied it with an oath,
"I do not know the man."
A little later, the bystanders came over and said to Peter,
"Surely you too are one of them, even your speech is your word."
At that, he began to curse and to swear,
"I do not know the man."
And immediately, the cock crowed. Then Peter remembered the word that Jesus had spoken, "Before the cock crows, you will deny me 3 times. He went out and began to weep bitterly. When it was morning, all the chief priests and the elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They bound him, led him away, and handed him over to Pilate, the governor. Then Judas, his betrayer, seeing that Jesus had been condemned, deeply regretted what he had done. He returned the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying,
I have sinned in betraying innocent blood.
They said,
what is that to us?
Flinging the money into the temple, he departed and went off and hanged himself. The chief priests gathered up the money, but said,
it is not gold, but it is in the temple treasury, for it is the price of love.
After consultation, they used it to buy a potter's field that is a burial place for farmers. That is why that field even today is called the Field of Blood. Then was fulfilled what had been said to Jeremiah the prophet. And they took the 30 pieces of silver, the value of a man with a price on his head, a price set by some of the Israelites, and they paid it out for the potter's field, just as the Lord had commanded me. Now, Jesus stood before the governor, Pontius Pilate, and he questioned him.
Are you the king of the Jews?
Jesus said,
you say so.
And when he was accused by the chief priests and elders, he made no answer. Then Pilate said to him,
do you not hear how many things they are testifying against you?
But when he did not answer him one word, so that the governor was greatly amazed. Now on occasion of the feast, the governor was accustomed to release to the crowd one prisoner whom they wished. And at that time, they had a notorious prisoner called Barabbas. So when they had assembled, Pilate said to them,
which one do you want me to release to you, Barabbas or Jesus, called Christ?
For he knew that it was out of envy that they had handed him over. While he was still seated on the bench, his wife sent him a message, have nothing to do with that righteous man. I suffered much in a dream today because of him. The chief priests and the elders persuaded the crowds to ask Barabbas, but to destroy Jesus. The governor said to them in reply,
which of the two do you want me to release to you?
They answered,
Barabbas.
Pilate said to them,
then what shall I do with Jesus called Christ?
They all said,
let him be crucified.
But he said,
why? What evil has he done?
They only shouted the louder,
let him be crucified.
When Pilate saw that he was not succeeding at all, but that a riot was breaking out instead, he took water and washed his hands in the sight of the crowd, saying,
I am innocent of this man's blood. Look to it yourselves.
And the whole people said in reply,
his blood be
on us. Then he released Barabbas to them. But after he had Jesus scourged, he handed him over to be crucified. Then the soldiers of the governor took Jesus inside the praetorium and gathered the whole court around him. They stripped off his clothes and threw a scarlet military cloak about him. Weaving a crown out of thorns, they placed it on his head and a reed in his right hand. And kneeling before him, they mocked him, saying,
hail, King of the Jews!
They spat upon him and took the reed and kept striking him on the head. And when they had mocked him, they stripped him of a cloak, dressed him in his own clothes, and led him off to crucify him. As they were going out, they met a Cyrenian named Simon. This man had pressed into service to carry his cross. And when they came to a place called Golgotha, which means place of the skull, they gave Jesus wine to drink, mixed with gall. When he had tasted it, he refused to drink. After they had crucified him, they divided his garments by casting lots. When they sat down and kept watch over him there, they placed over his head the written charge against him. This is Jesus, King of the Jews. Two revolutionaries were crucified with him, one on his right, the other on his left. Those passing by reviled him, shaking their heads and saying,
you will destroy the temple and build it in 3 days. Save yourself. You are the Son of God, and come down from the cross.
Likewise, the chief priests with the scribes and elders mocked him and said,
he saved others, he cannot save himself. So he is the King of Israel. Let him come down from the cross now, and we will believe in him. He trusts in God.
The revolutionaries who were crucified with him also kept abusing him in the the same way. From noon onward, darkness came over the whole land until 3 in the afternoon. And about 3 o'clock, Jesus cried out in a loud voice,
"Eli, Eli, lama sabachthani,"
which means,
my God, why have you forsaken me?"
Some of the bystanders who heard it said,
"This one is calling for Elijah."
Immediately, one of them ran to get a sponge. He soaked it in wine, and putting it on a reed, gave it him to drink. But the rest said,
"Wait,
but Jesus cried out again in a loud voice and gave up his spirit. And behold, the veil of the sanctuary was torn in two from top to bottom. The earth quaked. Rocks were split, tombs were opened, and the bodies of many saints who had fallen asleep were raised. And coming forth from their tombs after his resurrection, they entered the holy city and appeared to many. The centurion and the men with him were keeping watch over Jesus' feet greatly when they saw the earthquake and all that was happening, and they said,
"Truly, this was the Son of God."
There were many women there, looking on from a distance, who had followed Jesus from Galilee, ministering to him. Among them were Mary Magdalene, and Mary, the mother of James and Joseph, and the mother of the sons of Zebedee. When it was evening, there came a rich man from Arimathea named Joseph, who was himself a disciple of Jesus. He went to Pilate and asked for the body of Jesus. Then Pilate ordered it to be handed over. Taking the body, Joseph wrapped it in clean linen and laid it in his new tomb that he had hewn in the rock. Then he rolled a huge stone across the entrance of the tomb and departed. But Mary Magdalene and the other Mary remained sitting there facing the tomb. The next day, the one following the day of preparation, the chief priests and the Pharisees gathered before Pilate and said,
"Sir, we remember that this is impossible.
Pilate said to them,
"The guard is yours. Go, secure it as best you can."
So they went and secured the tomb by fixing a seal to the stone and setting the guard. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you,
Jesus.
Jesus,
remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom.
Today marks the beginning of Holy Week, the most important week in the church calendar. However, before we get to Easter, the church invites us to think about the meaning of Jesus' death. We should start by recognizing that his death wasn't an unfortunate misunderstanding. Jesus was murdered by the religious and political leaders of his time, who wouldn't tolerate his challenges to their greed, power, and hypocrisy. Because Jesus' words and actions made them angry, they put a plan into motion to bring about his death. Jesus knew that his message and his actions would probably lead to his suffering and death. But that doesn't mean that he had a death wish. Rather, as St. Paul told the Philippians, Jesus was being obedient to his mission to preach and to make the kingdom of God known. He was faithful to this mission, whether it was convenient or inconvenient, whether it would be well received or not. Nothing would make Jesus abandon his mission, not even death. And Jesus did all of this with great humility. For him, it was never about looking important or being famous. As St. Paul's letter proclaims, he emptied himself, taking the form of a slave. He humbled himself, becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. As a sign of this humility, Jesus entered Jerusalem a few days before the Last Supper, but he didn't ride a war horse like the rulers of his time would have. He rode a humble donkey, the beast of burden used by the lowly. Jesus was willing to accept suffering and even death in order to win our salvation. His obedience should inspire us to stay faithful to our mission to help build the kingdom of God here on earth. This means loving others even when they don't return our love. It means speaking the truth even when others don't want to hear it. It means asking for forgiveness when we've done wrong. It means caring for others, even if that's inconvenient or difficult. And it means doing all of these things with humility. It isn't easy, but we haven't been left alone in our efforts. Every time we come to Mass, Jesus gives us himself in the Eucharist, strengthening us so that we can follow his example.